Betsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And I am back with my next guest, and I am thrilled to be talking to her because it is about a subject that I love so much. And when I came across her book, I was so thrilled. And the name of the book is Davida, Model and Mistress of Augustus St. Gaudens. Karen Ingalls, you have written a fantastic book.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. It's my favorite book that I've written.
Well, it's one of my favorite now. I tell you, I love this book. When I came across it, I had not read it before. It came out in what year?
2014, maybe.
That was before I had the radio program. And I hadn't read it, although I've read a lot about St. Gaudens. And one of the reasons that when I found the book and I said to myself, oh my goodness, how did I miss this? It is so wonderful.
I'm going to have to ask how you were a fan of Augustus St. Gaudens when so many people have no idea who he was.
Well, because I wanted to be a sculptress. I took, along the way in my life, whenever I had an opportunity, I took sculpting classes. And when I lived in England, my husband and I used to go to Paris quite often. So, mm-hmm. Of course, there, they really appreciate sculptures. Sculptors are somebody they talk about as if they're still around, you know? So you get a lot of talk in Paris about the value of sculptors and what they do. And I managed to see some studios. I actually walked in the streets where he worked, where he had his studio. So I knew all about him. Of course, I admired him. I actually tried to copy, imitate mm-hmm. him. So I put that on the back burner for years. I hadn't, have done any sculpting. But then when I got this book, I was really thinking about it was all of this nonsense about them ripping down great pieces of art, and mm-hmm. it drives me crazy. And so there I was thinking about the Farragut, and I was thinking about his wonderful, brilliant, this piece that he did about Admiral Farragut. Wow, if people come along and they don't understand, people see a sculpture in a garden, in a park, they'll stand in front of it and take a selfie. They don't understand mm-hmm. what's gone into it. The work, the talent, the struggle, and nobody did it better than St. Gaudens.
Oh, my goodness, thank you. I agree.
Your story is all part of his life, so I'll let you tell the story of
St. Gaudens.
Your book is about mm-hmm. about his model and his
yep.
mistress. Tell us how this book came about.
Well, St. Gaudens and his mistress, Davida, had one child, who is my grandfather. And my grandfather had two granddaughters. I'm one of them. Unfortunately, my sister has passed away. So my grandfather, being born in 1890, which was a time of many illegitimate, and that's what they were called, and referred to as bastards, and they were shunned and shamed, very different from the world we live in today. And my grandfather never, ever spoke about his father or mother or his childhood or growing up. And I only found out through my grandmother a little bit and my dad, and then just doing research on my own.
So you take this story, and you've written it in the first person, so you mm-hmm. take it from her point of view. Tell mm-hmm. us her real name.
Her real name is Albertina Hultgren, and we know she came from Sweden. We know that she came over with her mother, but we don't know where exactly in Sweden. It was a good friend and distant relative did a lot of research for me because she lives in Stockholm, but we couldn't get anything definite. Albertina's mother was a great cook, and she and her sister became cooks for the St. Gaudens family. That's how eventually my great-grandmother met St. Gaudens, and they fell in love. and he asked her to be his model. At some point, he said, Albertina, that's not a good name for a model. That's just too many
syllables.
Whatever. Too Swedish or whatever. I do know from research that he chose the name Davida because he said, you are as beautiful as the David sculpture by Michelangelo. But as far as how she came up with Johnson, Davida Johnson Clark, is fictionalized in my own imagination.
I love the way that you've written the book in first person. You go into her life from a young girl, and what I related a lot to her because her dad was a lumberman, and my dad was a lumberman. So my dad cut down a lot of trees in his life. So I had this immediate connection with her, her love of the forest, her love of nature. And so you write this story, and, you know, St. Gaudens was famous in those days. I mean, everybody knew him. In those days, there wasn't anybody who didn't know him all across the country because, of course, he was doing these beautiful works of great subjects. One of the things, of course, the Admiral Farragut, who was very important at that time. People knew about him. Of course, he did Abraham Lincoln. He did other people. So he was well known, made a lot of money. And the fact that he lived, you know, quite a long time in Paris, because that's where they had the studios there to make the big sculpture that he wanted. And he, of course, he was married, and his wife's name was Gussie.
Correct.
So it was, you know, a complicated marriage. She was going deaf, and I think she was shy. And then he comes along, and he falls in love with Davida.
When I wrote the book, well, actually, as a teenager, when I first really began to understand my heritage and the story, I was so enthralled with the love story. And for it to take place in the 1800s and then all the art, it was just, to me, an incredible story. And I wanted, the main reason I wrote this story was to free my grandfather of the shame that he grew up with. And yes, he had passed away by the time, but I believe at some level he was able to release that shame. And Davida did not have an easy life being the mistress, and she loved Gus unconditionally, and she would have married him in a heartbeat. But he, which I have some difficulty with in looking hindsight, is that he chose his career over his love for Davida. Again, we're talking the 1800s, and if he had left his wife, who was very wealthy in a very famous, well-established family, for Davida, he might have lost a lot of commissions. And that was very important to him, obviously. So if all this had happened in the 21st century, the story would be very different. Another important thing that a lot of people don't know is that Rodin, who was in his 20s, was coming along with a whole new idea about sculpture. And he admired and loved St. Gaudens. And St. Gaudens mentored him. And they were very good friends. But our society turned away from the old traditional sculpting to what Rodin was introducing. And that's why a lot of people don't know St. Gaudens, but they know Rodin. The only people that know St. Gaudens are the coin collectors. I shouldn't say the only, but the majority.
Because, of course, he designed some of our most beautiful coins.
The $20 gold piece. And that was the last thing he did, and unfortunately he died before it was put into circulation.
I wish I had a few of those. You know, it's hard because when you read about St. Gaudens, everybody's complicated. And you do feel that, you know, he did love Gussie. They were close. She was there for him when things were difficult at the in the beginning, when her family actually didn't want him to court her. And she was adamant, and she loved him. So, you know, and I'm not so sure nowadays if things would be so different, because in some ways I think there are still men who stay married to very wealthy women just because it helps their careers.
Exactly.
So,
oh, for sure.
You know, that's the thing about life. People don't change that much. You know, human nature is human nature. But I think that what's wonderful about your book, about Davida, is that I think people should know about her and should know, well, how beautiful she was and what a woman she must have been, that she didn't make a scene. She didn't try to ruin his life. Today, my goodness, it would be a sexual harassment case. Like, you know,
right.
But she was circumspect about it. She took it sort of in stride. I don't know, you know, as you said, your family probably did not save all the letters or everything that they might have.
Oh, no. Yeah. When my grandmother died first, excuse me, and then my grandfather, and I was in the kitchen of their home, and my dad and his brother were going through papers, and they came across all the love letters, and they threw them away.
I know. People
and
do these things.
I was 16. If I had been in the living room and seen and heard, I would have said, no, I'll take them. I want to see them. But I was in the kitchen cleaning out stuff, and I didn't know until well after the fact. Long time.
You know, that's the tragedy, but it also makes for an interesting story. And I was talking to my previous colleagues, sometimes every once in a while a book will come along that if I had the money, I would take an option and try to turn this into a film, because this is a beautiful love story. And as you said, your grandfather, who lived his life with that idea of being a bastard, and you know, today we can say that word, you know, not that long ago that word was still such a pejorative. Today, with people having babies all over the place, nobody calls anybody a bastard anymore. So it's not the same thing, although I would think that a lot of people who are, you know, feel that loss, that not so much shame, but the loss of the opportunities that could have been theirs. So as I said, I think the book, you've written the book with such tenderness, and as a love story, as a historical document, I think talking about who St. Gaudens is and about his work, and then about your grandmother's devotion to him. It's a beautiful story. Have you ever been to the St. Gaudens National Park?
They're in Cornish.
So you've been to the National Park?
Yes.
And you've walked it?
I've walked it. My sister was alive at the time, and the two of us went with our husband, and they welcomed us. I can't think of the name of the curator at the time, and introduced ourselves. We were very welcomed. And
it's a beautiful place. This is where he had
gorgeous.
His studio, and it's in Cornish, yep. New Hampshire, as I said, because I follow St. Gaudens. I have been there. It is so beautiful in the springtime. This is the perfect time to visit. There are gorgeous trees there, a lovely. It's just lovely, and you can see so many of his works. I think they have maybe 100 of his works, you know, that you can see what he did. And the talent, and I think that I would love to make a film. I would, if I won the lottery tomorrow, the first person I'd call is you.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I would take an option on this book.
Okay, All right. We'll go for it.
So keep your fingers crossed. If I win the lottery, I'll give you a film deal, because I think it's gorgeous. The writing is wonderful. It's so heartfelt. And your family, well, I think your family does deserve the recognition and the knowledge that, you know, DeVita played an important part in his life and in his creation, and and we can still see the work that he did using her as a model.
Right. I don't know how we are on time.
No, we're running out of time, but
okay.
What else?
Just very quickly, when I wrote this book, there were many times I had no idea. My fingers were just going across the keyboard, and I know DeVita was speaking through me and my fingers.
Well, that's what I felt as I'm reading it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt
mm-hmm.
as if she was talking to you and talking to me, because, as I said, in Paris, I followed his footsteps. I mean, I actually went to the houses where he lived. I went to the places where he worked.
And me too.
So I know, I really feel him. And when I got your book, I was so thrilled. And it's been an honor just to talk to you. And the name of the book is DeVita, Model and Mistress of Augustus St. Gaudens. And you have a sort of a companion book that is heartbreaking, actually.
Novi?
Yeah. That book is it's heartbreaking. But again, that's all sort of part of a film that I think could be made out of your life, your family's life, and definitely something to celebrate DeVita, because she deserves to be remembered.
I completely agree. I'm looking at her book cover right now, and I think she's here in our room right now.
Well, I think she's in our heart. And I just thank you so much. I know, you know, after so many years, you don't get people who do interviews about a book, you know. Most people, you get a 1 month opportunity when a book is released, and nobody ever asks you about it again. But I want to assure you that not only am I going to talk about the book and help promote the book, I also want to, try to get it out there. Maybe, I think if they're looking for a new product, as we used to say in Hollywood, this is a product that I would grab onto, and they could make a terrific film, just terrific, between the Paris side and... Oh, and DeVita and everything. It would be wonderful. So thank you so much for being on the program today, Karen Ingalls.
And thank you.
And people, you can get this book on Amazon, and I will also put it up on my website. I want you to read this book. It's a really heartfelt book. Again, Karen Ingalls, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Be well. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is why, you know, it's so much fun what I do. I don't look at if the book was a new release. I mean, I love getting new releases. I love talking to people on their pub day. It's always so exciting for me. It becomes part of history. But to look back and to find books that are an absolute treasure, like DeVita is, a book about a young woman, a girl who comes from Sweden, a girl who loves running around in the forest, a happy childhood, a joyful childhood, and she falls in love with a man who's married. And that changes everything for her. She might have had a completely different life if that hadn't happened. But in the end, also, he sculpted her, and his work lives on, too. So, anyway, it was a great, great thing to talk to Karen today. Bye-bye now.